Again, you act like you didn't believe that about my suit shrinking. Well, you know, I told my wife, she said, you know, you need to buy a new jacket. And I said, well, no, what I really need to do is lose weight. That would be the reasonable thing to do. It would be better for me, it would be healthier, and I wouldn't have to spend that money, amen? But the harder I try, the smaller that jacket gets. So I don't know what's happening there. That middle age spread, it just keeps spreading, but we're working on it. It's her fault. She feeds me, right? So we'll put the blame back on her. We got that in the garden, and we're still passing it back, right? Still putting the blame somewhere else. Open your Bibles to Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. I wanted to go back there and finish up a little bit that we didn't get done with before we move on to something else. And I'm probably going to read something to you out of chapter 1 just because I want to hear it again. I don't know about you, but it's with all this going on in the world, you know, things doesn't look real promising, right? But it should be looking promising to us as believers. Because as we progress and as we see things coming, it's obvious that everything is setting itself up for the Antichrist. Will it be in our lifetime? I don't know. You know, I'm like you. I don't know. It could be the trumpet could sound tomorrow and we could be snatched out of here. Or it could be another 100 years. I don't know. But the way things are progressing, to me, it looks like it's going to be soon. And I know that I've heard all my life, you know, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. You know, I've heard it from a child. And I think sometimes as we get older and we become seniors, it's like I've heard that all my life, you know. And it's almost like sometimes we become dull to it and we don't really want to hear that anymore. But it's the truth. He's coming. You know, and if you're 95 today, guess what? You're 95 years closer to it today than you was the day you was born. So we're closer every day to the coming, to the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. And he is coming. And we don't need to get discouraged. When we see everything that's going on in the world, we should be excited. I mean, we should be thankful that we're still able in this country to gather ourselves together in the Lord's house and worship our God. We should be thankful for that. You know, they're trying to stop it, folks. And be in prayer for our governor. He is in a battle. And I know sometimes he probably feels like he's alone because there's not too many people standing up against all this foolishness that's going on, all the control that the government is trying to steal from us. They're trying to take away your rights and your freedoms. So we need to be praying for our governor. He's doing an awesome job. We have Sheriff Grady Judd going to be here with us in a little while. You need to be in prayer for our sheriff. He's doing an awesome job. And it doesn't matter where you go. You can go just about anywhere across the country you want to go. And they know Grady Judd. Amen. They know about it. I mean, he's taking a stand, a strong stand, and a good stand. That's the thing of it. It's all good. But he needs our prayers too. We need to be praying for them. So when we're looking here in Thessalonians, and we're talking about the rapture, we're talking about the return of our Lord Jesus, we should be excited about it. And today when I look around, Christians don't look to be too happy. They look sad. We should be the happiest people on the planet. Because no matter what happens, no matter how bad it gets, and this is what people worry about. Well, how much persecution are we going to suffer? Well, I can promise you this. It won't be what Jesus suffered. Okay? I can promise you that. It won't be that bad. Now, how bad is it going to get? I don't know. But any persecution that comes to us would be man. It would be through man, not God. The wrath of God is not going to fall on us as believers. The wrath of God is going to fall on the lost people. And we need to keep that in mind. And as we progress through our days, no matter what's happening, we should be joyful people. We got to pass it on. Today we're going to use ropes and I don't know how you do the Western thing when you're playing football. But today we're going to do both. We're going to be dressed up as cowboys and we're going to be throwing the football too, right? We're going to be passing it on. And we need to do that every day, but we need to be excited about it. And I know it's easy to get down. I catch myself sometimes. When you get so caught up in everything that's going on around you that sometimes we forget who we are. We're a child of the King. You know, my wife and I was sitting in a Taco Bell, my favorite place in the whole world, Taco Bell. But she likes it, so we go. Yeah. And keep peace in the family, right? So we went up with her, and I was saying something to her about something that was going on. I don't remember what it was now, but probably had something to do with the president and our so-called president, right? But this guy, he overheard us, and before we left, he came over and he said, "Brother, I just want to let you know I agree with everything you said." He said, "But you know, we need to not be focused on that. We need to be focused on the good things." Amen. Right? And he's right about that. Because no matter how bad anything is, we should be focused on the things of Christ. But what I tried to explain to him was, that's true. We need to have our focus on the Lord. But I'm not going to put my head in the sand and act like what's going on is not going on. I want to know what's going on around me because I want to share it with other people. People need to know what's going on. And I'm encouraged by everything that's going on because I know we're closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus. And folks, I mean, I don't, like I said before, I don't know when he's coming. I have no idea. But I just feel like he's coming soon. So look at 2 Thessalonians. We're going to look at chapter 2. Last week, I think we got through the first two verses. We had got to verse 3, but I'll go ahead and read the first two verses anyhow. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." I think he's trying to tell us right here that don't let anybody deceive you. Folks, when you turn that television on, and there's a lot of preachers on there. Some of us good, most of us not. We get our doctrine messed up. What depends on what kind of books you're reading, what kind of Bible you're reading. Folks, you get things mixed up. Paul, when he was writing to the Thessalonians, as a matter of fact, in verse 5, let me read verse 5 to you right quick. He says, "Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things." Paul's reminding them, I've told you. And the doctrine that he's given us is right here in this book, the same very book this morning. And that's what we need to adhere to. We don't need to get off chasing rabbit trails somewhere else outside of this book. We need to be in this book and this book only. And when you turn the TV on and you listen, like I said, some of this stuff is good that's on there, but most of it's not. And you get yourself all mixed up. Go back to chapter 1 of Thessalonians. I want to read this because, like I said, I want to hear it myself. I love reading this section. I just feel good when I read it. Get goosebumps. Look at chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 13. I'll give you a second to get to it because we can read it together. Chapter 4 and verse 13. It says, "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not even as others which have no hope." That's talking about the lost person has no hope. Where's our hope? Our hope's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our hope. "For if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Folks, that right there is what we're studying over in Thessalonians 2. That's what we're studying. We're studying about the rapture that's going to take place right here. And we should be excited about that. When I read this, I get excited. I know I'm going to go be with the Lord. Now, right now, when it's talking about us that are alive, that's talking about me and you right now. And if the trumpet sounds, we're going to be caught up. But you notice that it says here that those that are asleep, we won't prevent them. See, folks, when Jesus died on the cross and he paid and bought you, he bought you body, soul, and spirit. He bought all of you. He didn't buy just one part of you. He bought every bit of you. So those people that have died before us, they're in heaven. It says that God would bring them with him, right? Well, if he's going to bring them with him, how are they going to meet him in the sky? That's a bodily resurrection. This body is coming up out of that grave. This body is going to meet the Lord in the sky. All of us, folks, he bought every bit of us. So we don't need to be discouraged about anything. All of us, whether we're dead or whether we're alive, we're going to be gathered back into the Lord Jesus Christ. All those that believe, it tells you right here. For if we believe that Jesus died and arose again, even so them also which sleep will Jesus bring with him. That's all we got to do is believe, folks. We get so messed up on so much stuff. We get so much religion involved in everything. And it's not about that. It's about believing. It's about if we believe the Lord Jesus. Amen. And then I want to read a verse to you out here in verse 9. Chapter 4, that's 1 Thessalonians, verse 9. It says, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we awake or sleep, we should live together unto him. Folks, we're not going to be here during that tribulation period. That God's wrath's not going to fall on us. All the wrath that we're going to suffer today is going to be man's wrath. We don't have to worry about going through the tribulation period. I have so many times that people ask, do you think we're going to be here during the tribulation period? No. I do not believe we're going to be here during the tribulation period. I believe my God's going to call us out of here. We're going to be gathered together with him in the clouds. And that should be an exciting thing for us. Now, I know, like I said a moment ago, that we've heard that all of our life. But we've never been in the church age that we're living in today. Today, we are living in the Laodicean church age. Turn over to Revelations chapter 4, I believe it is. Turn over to Revelations chapter 4. No, chapter 3. Chapter 3. I want to read something to you because this is the setting. This is where we're at today. This is the church age. You know, in this chapter here, God is writing the letters to the seven churches. And these seven churches also represent seven periods of history in our time here. And we're living in the Laodicean church age, which is the seventh one. There's not a number eight. Number seven is God's number of completion. So this is the last church age. But listen to what he wrote to the Laodiceans. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. That's talking about the Lord Jesus. The beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich and white raiment, and thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Now, folks, remember, that letter was written to the church. It wasn't written to the lost man. It was written to the church. But yet, he says he stand at the door and knock. And does that not sound like today's time? Because we've thrown God out of our churches. Not here. But all across the world, they have thrown God out of the church house. So we're living in this Laodicean church age. We're living in this time period. Go with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Look at chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. It says, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." That means dangerous times. "For men shall be lovers of their own selves." Folks, we're there, aren't we? People, they're just in love with yourself. It's all about me. Everything is about me. And you know, if you'll look at your life, look at all the problems that is involved with you and your family, you know most of them come down to me. You know that? Most of our problems is right here. It's our selfishness. Because if we were to take our eyes off of self and put them on the Lord Jesus where they ought to be as Christians and as believers, most of our problems will go away. But we're focused so much on the things of the world today, that's where our focus is. And it's easy to do that because we have to work, we have to make a living, we have to survive. So it's easy for us to get off track and forget that this is not our home. We're supposed to be as pilgrims. We're just passing through. So it's easy for us to get off a track. So when we read this right here, but look at society today. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. Covetousness. I don't see any of that around today, do you? Everybody wants everything that everybody's got, right? You can never get enough. They want more, 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 more. Reach out for more. Boasters. You know, that's proud. Folks, I see so many people so proud. It's all about how good I am. I'm so good. I can be so good. You know, it's not always about us, is it? You know, and if God has given you a talent and you're good at something, then you're blessed. You might be a good singer. You're a good piano player. I can't do either one, okay? So you don't have to tell me how good you are, okay? You don't have to brag about it. If you want to brag, brag on God. Get self out of the way. Because when we brag on ourselves, what are we really doing? Think about what you're doing when you're bragging on yourself. You're trying to lift yourself up. You're trying to elevate yourself. And who should we be elevating? God. We should be elevating God. Because every talent that God has given you, God gave it to you. You're good because God allowed you to be that way. And it doesn't matter what it pertains to. But we should not be trying to elevate ourselves, because what we're really trying to do is elevate ourselves. We're trying to tear somebody else down. And that's not what we're supposed to be doing, especially as believers. We should be trying to elevate others. We're supposed to esteem them above us. We're supposed to be trying to lift others. Let me tell you something, folks. It's very encouraging when somebody, you take a school teacher. Unless you're in that classroom with them every day, you have no idea what they go through. And when they go home, the preparation time. My wife's a school teacher. So, you know, when they go put their few hours in the daytime, that's what people think. My wife starts her day at 4 o'clock in the morning, every morning. And she'll go till 9 or 10 o'clock at night, every day. And she's always preparing, always. All summer when she's out of school, she's preparing for the next year. They put a lot of time and a lot of work and a lot of effort into what they do. And you always hear the bad things, but you never hear the good. You know how encouraging it would be for a teacher, for somebody to just tell them, you know, you're doing an awesome job. Because, see, as believers, that's what we should be doing. Rather than telling the world about how good I am, boy, let me tell you about me. Let me tell you what I did today. Let me tell you what I can do. No. We should be telling somebody else how good they are, because we profit from that. Other people profit from that. These teachers work so hard. I guarantee you there's times when they just said, you know what, I'm just ready to quit. I'm ready to give up. But if somebody was to tell them, you know, you're doing an awesome job, thank you. You know, sometimes that's all it takes to get them through another year. And that pertains to all of us. It doesn't matter what we do. You know, the lady that works down at McDonald's, you know, somebody's got to do it or you wouldn't get a hamburger. Okay? And it's always easy to complain. I'm guilty of that because I'm picky when it comes to food. I'm so picky, my wife don't even want to cook for me. You know? You got just two slivers of onions on here, and there's supposed to be three. You know? It's easy to be that way. But how much better would it be if we were just to say thank you? Thank you. I mean, there's a young man from our college here. He'll go someplace, and let's just say he goes up to the pizza place. He'll go in and order himself a pizza. And there's a young lady sitting over having lunch, and he'll pay for her lunch while he's there. Never says a word. He just pays for it and leaves. Can you imagine how good that person feels that somebody paid for money? Don't even know who it is. It doesn't matter. See, he wasn't trying to elevate himself. He was trying to lift somebody else's spirit. So, and that's where we need to be. So when we're talking about being boasters and proud, this is what happens when we allow that to creep into our lives. You know, we start elevating self and we stop elevating other people. Well, that's the society that we live in today. Blasphemers. You know what blaspheming is? You know, anything that they're blaspheming, cursing God. Let me tell you something. Homosexuality is blaspheming God. It's unnatural. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. You know, and don't say that on the radio. You know? Folks, I get sick of that. I'm not afraid to say what's right and wrong. Sin is sin. Call it what it is. They're in the wrong, not me. I don't have to feel bad about it. I don't have to feel guilty about saying it. I have no problem saying it because I'm not in the wrong. They are. When they're blaspheming God, we need to stand up against that. It's not us that's wrong. They're blasphemers. Disobedient to parents. Today, not only are they disobedient, they control the parents. I've seen children in the store tell mommy what she is going to do. I'm like, yeah. Now, if that had been me growing up, and I was going to tell my mom or daddy what I'm going to do, I wouldn't be here today. I would not be here. I'd be one of those ones that's been buried. You know, I'm going to get a 6-foot head start. I mean, the things that I see today, disobedient to parents, that is so ungodly. And folks, I hate to say it, but most of it's the parents' fault. Because there's nothing that a good backhand wouldn't cure. You know? Disobedient to parents. This is one right here that's so, it's just all over the place today. Unthankful. Unthankful. We live in the most unthankful society today. Can you imagine? I mean, I can think back when I was a little boy, just say around 12 or 13 years old. Now, I felt blessed because I didn't really do without anything. I mean, you know, we weren't rich, but I didn't have holes in my socks. You know, if I wanted a bicycle, my daddy could get me one. You know, he wouldn't buy me one every week. You know, if I broke it, oh, well, you get another one next year. You know, you take better care of it. But I didn't have to do without anything. But I know my mother and father, when they grew up, had nothing. Just dirt poor. Had nothing. To have a meal would be a blessing. You know, what they would have for dessert would be a biscuit with sugar on it. That would be dessert. That would be their cake. And today, all that we have, and people are still unthankful. So unthankful and ungrateful. I mean, look at the society that we're living in right now. Everything that we have is because God has given it to us. Do you understand that in order for God to bless you and I, he has to bless the rest of the society? You understand that? Because of his goodness to us, in order for me to do as well as I do, you know, we all have to have jobs, right? Well, God has to bless the economy in order for us to continue to work and continue to grow and do the things that we do. So God has to bless those that really shouldn't be blessed because they're so unthankful. But at the same time, we as Christians, every day, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself just a little less grateful than you were yesterday. And I tell you, when that really hit home with me, during Hurricane Andrew. I went down south with a friend of mine to help him put some boats, tie his boats. His daddy had a place down there where you rented spots on the side of the canal. And we had to drag all the boats up into the canal, anchor them down, tie them off so that the storm wouldn't blow them away. And I went down there to help him do that because the storm was close approaching. Well, the storm was moving faster than what they had anticipated. So while we was there, the storm came in. So I stayed, and that was down there in Homestead. So I stayed just at the top side of Carr Sound Road up there. There was a little place called Leisure City. Well, a little place, it's a big city, called Leisure City. Hundreds and hundreds of homes. When that storm passed over, there was nothing there. I mean, it literally destroyed everything. And it took us a day or two to get out of there. I can't remember exactly how long it was, but for the time that we remained there trying to get out, there was no water, there was no food, there was nothing. There was nothing there. And that was the first time in my life that I couldn't walk up to a spigot and turn it and get water. You know, there wasn't even a bar to pump water, you know, a well. There was absolutely nothing. So, and it was hot. You know how it is after a storm. It's always hotter after the storm than it is before. And so it felt like it was 200 degrees. It was just miserable. And there was no water. We had no food. We had nothing. Well, when I got home, I realized just how blessed we are. To be able to walk into the kitchen and just turn that spigot and see that water flow. Folks, we're blessed. And we should be extremely thankful. Most of us have homes that we live in. We have air conditioning. We have heaters. We have food on our tables. Most of us have too much. That's why our suits don't fit. Because we're extremely blessed. Amen? We shouldn't allow ourselves to fall into this unthankful category. And then it says unholy. You know, now that's going beyond. You know, you can be lost and not be unholy. You know, lost people, for the most part, are like you and I before we got saved. They're ignorant of the truth. But that doesn't make you unholy. To be unholy, that's going a step further. That's blaspheming against God. And that's where we're at today. That's the society that we live in. It says, without natural affection. Folks, is that not here today? You know, it's not natural for a man to be with a man. It's not natural for a woman to flush her baby down the toilet. I mean, that's not natural. Truce breakers, fierce, false accusers. There's a lot of that going on today, isn't it? Just turn the news on. Just turn CNN on. False accusers. Inconstant, fierce, despisers of those that are good. Folks, that right there really gets me. See, today in our society, if you try to be good and try to do good, they'll call you a goody-goody two-shoes. Isn't that what they call you? I can remember a few years back, I tried to help a young couple, and I overheard their conversation one day. And they were talking about how we're just goody-good two-shoes. Now, this is a couple I was trying to help out. They was financially in a bind and needed some help. And because I offered to help them, we're a goody-goody two-shoe. See, that's the way they feel about you behind your back today. That's the society that we live in. Folks, this is in this time, this is the Laodicean church age. See, we've never lived here before. This is the last church age. So when we talk about, well, I've heard that all my life. Yeah, I've heard it all my life too. But today, we're here. We're at the time that the rapture can take place. Now, if we go back 1,000 years ago, it didn't fit. Biblically, it didn't fit into the Bible. But the rapture today fits. Everything fits into its place. It still could be 100 years. But I don't think so. I think it's coming, and I think it's coming quick. So with all that being said, with the program that Brother Parsons has got going on, pass it on. That's what we should be doing today as believers, passing it on. when you turn your television on and you see the things that's taking place, you see the people trying to make you take a vaccination. Now, whether or not you take it is your business. But the fact that they want to mandate it, they want to make it mandatory. There's a difference between a vaccine that's been tested and proven to be safe and a vaccine that they have no idea. There's a big difference. So I don't want to be made to take it. If you choose to take it, that's your business. That's like eating that's like eating oatmeal cookie. If you want to eat it, that's your business. You do that. But don't make me eat one. You see what I'm saying? But today's society that we live in, that's what they're trying to do. And what does the mark of the beast say? When we get the mark of the beast, you can't buy, sell, or trade without that mark. And that's where all of this is heading to. Right now, they're not going to let you on an airplane without a vaccine card. You can't get on a ship without a vaccine card. I mean, all these things are lining up, taking place. Everything. And when you watch all that, everything's just getting ready for the mark of the beast. It's all getting ready for the Antichrist. So I don't know about you, but I'm encouraged by that. When I see that, I know the Lord's fixing to come. The rapture can take place any single day. And I said something last week about the preacher preached a message one time about straddling the fence. You need to get on one side or the other. Amen. Well, folks, there's a lot of folks that have jumped off the fence, but unfortunately, they jumped off on the wrong side. They need to get back over that fence and get on this side where they need to be. The devil himself is too late for him. He can't do anything. Look at verse 4 right quick before we close up here. Look at verse 4, 2 Thessalonians. Who opposes and exalted himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. You understand that that's all he's got to look forward to. That's it. That's all he's got. And he's going to spend the rest of his days, eternity in hell. That's where he's going to be. Well, see, it's not too late for you. If you've jumped off the fence on the wrong side, you can still get back over it right now. You still have time to get back over that fence and get to where you need to be with God. It's not too late for you this morning when we give an invitation to walk down that aisle, come right here and give your life to Christ. It's not too late. And this is what people are worried about. Well, they might laugh at me. Now, folks, let me tell you something. Let me just put it to you like this. I would rather you laugh me into heaven than to laugh me into hell. Because that's what's going to happen. Because you're worried about somebody's going to laugh at you, you'll spend eternity in hell. Well, I don't know about you folks, but I'd much rather be laughed at. Go ahead and laugh at me, and I'm going to get the last laugh. Because I'm going to spend eternity with the Lord. So folks, when you get an opportunity this morning, the trumpet's about to sound. It could be any time, any day. Don't get caught on the wrong side of the fence. You need to get over here on God's side where you ought to be. Amen? But we're out of time. Brother, what's our Sunday school count this morning? 754. Well, it's holding pretty good there. Amen. Still growing. All right, we're going to take a few-minute break, and we'll come back for the preaching service.